This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
European gas prices hover near record levels as an energy crunch deepens. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. After soaring 20% yesterday, prices for gas due for delivery in Europe next month have eased off a record level, but that hasn't eased the pressure on households depending on the supplies coming from Russia. With wholesale prices at historic highs, energy bills across the continent could also move higher as the weather turns colder. From Moscow, the BBC's Anastasia Stogny explains the scale of the problem.
The crisis has been developing for several months, but in the last couple of days, it reached its peak. Russian natural gas deliveries to Germany through Yamal Europe pipeline dropped sharply on Saturday. And this pipeline is one of the major routes for Russian gas to Europe. And then on Tuesday, the flows via this pipeline reversed. As one can imagine, Kremlin claims that the situation is only commercial, but the analysts disagree. Some of them think that this is due to the political tensions between Russia, Ukraine, and NATO. But at the same time, some of them believe that this is due to the weather situation in Russia, which is also quite bad in terms of cold temperatures. So Russia may need and may prepare for peak demands within the country as well.
And so what happens now? I mean, I guess are they sort of rationing supplies at this point, preserving what they need for Russia, and then just sending what's left to Europe? What happens now?
No one knows whether what is happening is due to political or commercial reasons, but there is a lot of political tension between Russia and the European countries and the US. Russia is trying to discuss Ukraine's situation with NATO, and they're not going to reach any consensus soon. At the same time, hopes were pinned to the Nord Stream pipeline, but it's also proven a tricky subject to agree on, as the US in particular are worried that the opening of the route of gas will threaten Ukraine. There are no hopes that the supply of Russian natural gas will increase in the upcoming months. According to many analysts, Europe will continue facing higher and higher prices and will have to look for other solutions.
The BBC's Anastasia Stogny for us in Moscow. Thanks for breaking this down.
Thank you.
Checking some other numbers now, global stock markets are taking a bit of a breather ahead of the Christmas break today. Here in Europe, benchmarks are little changed, while indices across Asia tiptoed ever so slightly higher in their session. Noticeably on the move higher here are shares of food delivery companies. That's as European nations implement stricter COVID-19 restrictions ahead of planned Christmas Day celebrations. Well, every year this time of year, one of the world's richest lottery draws takes place in Spain. El Gordo, as it's called, has been part of the festive calendar since 1812. These days, nearly $3 billion in prize money is up for grabs. But this year, the mood is far less cheery than usual. That's because ticket sellers say they plan to protest against their low commission rates. The BBC's Guy Hedgeco has that story from Madrid.
In Spain, the Christmas lottery is a ritual as festive as carol singing or shopping for presents. But this year, many of those who sell the tickets are protesting, complaining that the commission they receive on each ticket sale is too low. Sellers are planning to demonstrate outside Madrid's Opera House, where the prize draw will take place. Many are also expected to down tools today. The strike may not have a huge practical impact, but it could prevent many winners of smaller prizes from being able to cash their tickets immediately.
That's Guy Hedgeco reporting from the Spanish capital there. We've been talking a lot on this show about Turkey's currency crisis. Don't worry, though, we're going to take you somewhere else today, to Zimbabwe, which is also suffering foreign exchange problems of its own. Hyperinflation hit when Zimbabwe's dollar was effectively abandoned in 2009 in favor of international currencies like the U.S. dollar. While it made a comeback in 2019, it's increasingly losing ground to the dollar, resulting in huge price increases there. The BBC's Shingai Nyoka reports from Harare.
The impact is most clearly seen in the price of goods. Most shops charge in US dollars or in local notes using the illegal black market rate. When inflation peaked at over 800% last year, the central bank introduced a foreign currency auction for importers. This enabled them to buy the US dollars at a cheaper rate, a saving they could then pass on to customers through cheaper goods. As a result of this and other measures, inflation has tumbled to just over 50% this year. Large companies such as the supermarket chain Pick n Pay say business is picking up. Thabani Mpofu is the spokesman for Meikles, the chain's parent company. He's also with the government's anti-corruption unit.
Basic commodities like bread and others are relatively stable. Our unit sales, for instance, have increased by at least 30% from last year. That means there's something good that's coming out of that.
But the central bank can only supply 30% of companies' needs, and with long delays in paying out, many have once again turned to the black market.
We need to defend the currency.
And Sekai Kuvarika is the CEO of the business group, the Confederation of Zimbabwe Industries.
If you look at the manufacturing sector, for example, we have experienced significant growth in the first and second quarters of 2021. The currency issue presents a risk to the growth already experienced.
This month, in an almost tacit admission that the local dollar is failing once again, authorities are paying government workers their annual bonuses in US dollars.
We are thankful that the government finally has recognized that paying people in RTGS is actually not a good thing to do.
But it's like teacher Joseph Gweshira has 2 degrees and has worked for 17 years, but he only grosses 29,000 RTGS, the local electronic currency, and every month his salary loses value.
It's being whittled down by about $20 to $30 every month. So every month I've got to cover that gap.
Businesses warn that the local currency and auction system could collapse if the gap between the two exchange rates continues to widen. They fear the public could one day stop accepting the Zimbabwe dollar, just as they did in 2009.
That's the BBC's Shingai Nyoka reporting from Zimbabwe's capital there and in London. I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.